Hey everybody, what's up? This is Aaron Dodson. I'm the host, and this is the Give Me Understanding podcast. Psalm 119:34 describes this podcast. The psalmist in the long ago wrote, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And that's the idea behind this podcast. This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text and do my best to help myself and others understand it so that we can keep it with our whole heart. What is the Roman road to salvation? You ever heard of that? I went on to the internet. I've heard this phrase or this idea used, Roman road to salvation. And there are probably many websites that you could read variants of this idea. But it's a common teaching tool used among the denominations to help someone understand the good news and supposedly how to be saved. What is the Romans road to salvation? I typed that in Google, and the first thing that came up was from gotquestions.org. Gotquestions.org. This seems to be a very, very popular website that many people go to read their, you know, to supplement them in their Bible study. The when you go to the page, their slogan is "Your Questions, Biblical Answers." Well, this particular article on this website, gotquestions.org, what is the Romans road to salvation? I'll be reading this, and then we'll look at it under the microscope of scripture only. What is the Romans road to salvation? It says the Romans road to salvation is a way of explaining the good news of salvation using verses from the book of Romans. It is a simple yet powerful method of explaining why we need salvation, how God provided salvation, how we can receive salvation, and what are the results of salvation. The first verse of Romans, and I'm still quoting this article, the first verse on the Romans road to salvation is Romans 6:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all sinned. We have all done things that are displeasing to God. There is no one who is innocent. Romans 3:10-18 gives a detailed picture of what sin looks like in our lives. The second scripture on the Romans road to salvation, Romans 6:23, teaches us about the consequences of sin. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The punishment that we have earned for our sins is death, not just physical death, but eternal death. The third verse on the Romans road to salvation picks up where Romans 6:23 left off, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 declares, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus' death paid for the price of our sins. Jesus' resurrection proves that God accepted Jesus' death as the payment for our sins. The fourth stop on the Romans road to salvation is Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, all we have to do is believe in him, trusting his death as the payment for our sins, and we will be saved. Romans 10:13 says it again, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins and rescue us from death, eternal death. Salvation, the forgiveness of sins, is available to anyone who will trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to continue reading the article. The final aspect of the Romans road to salvation is the result of salvation. Romans 5:1 has this wonderful message, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship of peace with God. Romans 8:1 teaches us, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, we will never be condemned for our sins. Finally, we have this precious promise of God from Romans 8:38-39. I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then the article says, would you like to follow the Romans road to salvation? If so, here's a simple prayer you can pray to God. Saying this prayer is a way to declare to God that you are relying on Jesus for your salvation. The words themselves will not save you. Only faith in Jesus Christ can provide salvation. Quote, God, I know that I have sinned against you and am deserving of punishment, but Jesus Christ took the punishment that I deserve so that through faith in him I could be forgiven. With your help, I place my trust in you for salvation. Thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Amen. And the article says, have you made a decision for Christ because of what you have learned through the Romans Road to Salvation? If so, please click on the I Have Accepted Christ Today button below. Now, thank you for bearing with me as I read that. I wanted to keep that as it was, the way it's written. No doubt, perhaps thousands, if not millions of people are going to this website, learning what they must do to be saved. And this article is telling them, they're styling it as the Romans Road to Salvation. And it starts out with Romans 3:23. It makes no explanation as to the meaning of Romans 3:23 in its context. It just says, you know, we've all sinned and we've all done things that are displeasing to God, and there's no one who's innocent. And Romans 3:10 to 18 gives us a detailed picture of what our sins look like. I wanted to, with the context of Romans, critique that just a little bit. If you would like to look with me at Romans chapter 3, or if you're not able because you're driving or doing some other activity, I want to encourage you to listen to the passage that I give you and then go back further and look at it for yourself in closer detail. So Romans chapter 3 verse 23 is in the context of Paul describing how all people, Jew and Gentile, which was a critical point to us understanding the context of Romans, which is often overlooked by so-called evangelical teachers and preachers today, denominational teachers, primarily in the so-called Protestant denominations, okay? Romans 3:23 is emphasizing that Jew and Gentile are under the curse of sin. They were under the curse of sin prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And also, they did not produce salvation, but were in need of justification because they themselves could not produce justification. They could not be declared right on their own. They could not receive the remission of sins and the legal standing before God of being just as if they'd never sinned. Prior to the cross, the cross was necessary for this. Romans 3:10-18, perhaps there is a sin listed there that you or I were guilty of prior to becoming a Christian, or perhaps you're listening to this and you're not a Christian and you have committed a sin that is listed here. But Romans 3:10-18 are verses that are describing how all are under sin previously before the cross of Christ. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? Who is this talking about? It's talking about, in its context, Jew and Gentile. Verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew over the person who was not a Jew? So this is about Jew and Gentile and salvation and coming to God. Are we Jews better than they? No, not at all. Verse 9. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that all are under sin. And he uses Old Testament passages to describe that people who say no to God are going to live wicked, wicked lives. Lives of iniquity and sin. Now, that being said, that more put in its proper context. According to this website, according to this particular article, the Romans Road to Salvation, Romans 6:23 is the second scripture on the so-called Romans road to salvation. And it teaches us about the consequences of death. And I agree with that. I agree that the wages of sin is death, and that's spiritual, eternal death. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The third verse on the Romans road to salvation is Romans 6:23, the last phrase, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the article goes back to Romans 5:8 and said, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death paid the price for our sins. And dear listener, I do not disagree with that one bit. Jesus' death did pay the price for my sin, your sin, for all sins. And it is true, Jesus' resurrection proves that God accepted Jesus' death as the payment for our sin. And I can prove that with 1 John 2, verse 2, that Jesus is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the appeasing sacrifice for our sins. No one else could so sacrifice themselves and appease the justice and the wrath of God, the holiness of God, but Jesus did. And John wrote about that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, the fourth step or fourth stop on the road, the Romans road to salvation, is Romans 10, 9 and 10. And this is where it gets a little hairy and fuzzy, and gets off into some false doctrine. It says Romans 10:9, and the article quotes verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it stops there, and it says, because of Jesus' death on our behalf, all we have to do is believe in him. The problem is the passage doesn't say that. And this is where you have to watch Satan and false teachers. Satan, through false teachers, adds words to scriptures like all you have to do, and then they leave out things that God has required. Would it be true if I were to say all you have to do is do what God said to do? Of course, because then that's broad enough, but yet specific enough to the truth that, yes, all we have to do to be saved is do what God tells us to do, not what I think, not what man says. But then to add in what you think is the summary or the totality of what you must do to be saved, and put it at this. Listen closely. Here's the article. All we have to do is believe in him, trusting his death as the payment for our sins, and we will be saved. Romans 10:13 says it again, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins and rescue us from eternal death. That's true that he paid the penalty for our sins to rescue us from death. And it is true that salvation is available, but then the article says it's available to anyone who will trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Okay, question. If you trust in Jesus as the Lord and the Savior, what will you do about what he says? Will you do what he says and what Paul says, or will you follow the Reformation leaders, you know, and the five so-called solas and all that, and whoever else, Billy Graham? You know, take your pick, whatever preacher on TV you want to mention there as an example. Romans 10, 9 and 10 are often cherry-picked out of context. Romans 9, chapters 9 through 11 are about the nation of Israel in the first century being a nation which overall was very unbelieving. And their problem was they were stumbling at the stumbling stone, Messiah. Romans 9 introduces this idea, verse 32. Why had Israel not attained to be righteous? Because they didn't seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Who was the stumbling stone? As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. The unbelieving Jews were unbelieving in who? Particularly in Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as the Christ, the Messiah. And so they were in sin. Paul writes in Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now, here's the problem. He says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. They're all fired up about God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the goal of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. And then he starts describing how salvation was not as complicated as the Jews perhaps had made it to be. They were stumbling over the stumbling block, Messiah, Jesus as Messiah. And yet he appeals to Moses, and Moses spoke many years before that salvation was near them because God was near them, and so was the gospel message and Christ. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith, the gospel, speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Salvation is not that hard. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now some people say, yep, there it is, see? And I'm done. That's it. I don't want to know anymore. No, we got to take the whole text so we can appreciate and understand it. Four, because with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So question, does God want me to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Absolutely he does. Because it's with the heart that one is oriented toward righteousness, unto, ace, in the direction of. And it's with the mouth that confession is made, orienting one to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, Messiah, will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is, over all is rich to all who call upon him. Okay. Verse 13, for whoever calls, whoever, Jew or Gentile, calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, if you just stop there, you say, okay, see, all you got to do is say a prayer. You just call out loud, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I confess, I'm saying it out loud. I believe it in my heart. So I'm calling the way Billy Graham or somebody else on the radio or on the internet or a YouTube clip, how they tell me to call. I'm calling. I'm calling you, Father. Please save me. And as sincere as that may be, from a sincere heart, we got to keep reading. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound, whose sound? The prophets of the Old Testament. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. That's the Gentiles. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest by those, or to those, who do not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. And then he goes further into a discussion about how not all who are of physical Israel are true Israelites. They've not obeyed. What's the point? The point is when I pick up Romans 10, I can't cherry pick Romans 10, 9, and 10 and say that means all I got to do is make an audible call to be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord in Romans 10:13 is contrasted with those who have not obeyed the gospel. So calling on the name of the Lord is the same thing as obeying the gospel. Go back and listen to a previous podcast I did on obeying the gospel, the death, burial, the resurrection, and the appearances of the resurrected Jesus. To obey an event, I have to obey it in form. It's something visible that I can see and that others see. When I die to sin and repentance, I'm buried in water and I'm raised by the authority of Christ to walk in newness of life for the forgiveness of my sins, Acts 2:38. And so to call on the name of the Lord, according to Peter on the day of Pentecost, who said, whoever calls the name of the Lord will be saved, Acts 2:21, is to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. They asked him when he preached Jesus, what must we do? He didn't say, well, call on the name of the Lord. He had already said, call on the name of the Lord. They asked, what do we do? They're asking, what do we do to call on his name? He says, here's how you do it. In faith, you repent of your sins and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, orienting you toward unto the remission of sins. So in this article, The Romans Road to Salvation, it's a butchering of Romans 10, sadly. And Romans 5:1 is misused here at the very end. The final aspect of Romans Road to Salvation, the article says, is the results of salvation. Has this wonderful message, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace through God. That's true. But what does it mean to be justified by faith? Because this article closes with, would you like to follow the Romans Road to Salvation? Based on what's already been shared in this podcast, you know what that Romans Road to Salvation is according to this website. If so, here's a prayer. Now, the prayer don't save you. The words don't save you. Only faith will. Okay, but what kind of faith? Faith according to the Protestant Reformation leaders or according to Christ and the apostles? Because Romans says, and I'm going to close with this, Romans 1 verse 5 says that this letter and their apostleship was received for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For obedience to the faith. And then at the end of this letter, Romans chapter 16, verse 26, it says, but now made manifest, that is the gospel that was once a mystery, it's been made plain or manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. If you look at this closely, I think you'll find, as I have in recent study, this is obedience that springs from faith, complete submission to God that springs from faith. And faith is to come from the Word of God according to Romans 10 and verse 17. It's not what has been styled as faith only, apart from doing what God said to do to obey the gospel. Now, in the next episode, I plan to look at Romans and Romans alone to show that faith, repentance, confession of faith, and baptism are all taught in Romans in this one letter. I submit to you that you study the letter of Romans very carefully. And I'd like to encourage to read it with an open heart and without commentary. I tell you, gotquestions.org is a very dangerous website with a lot of error on it. And perhaps in time to come, I'm going to devote some episodes to exposing the error that's found on that website. I hope this has been useful and beneficial to you in some way in understanding God's Word and in growing closer to God. May God get the glory. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.